Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 52. I thought perhaps this class and the next two, we would focus upon Prahlad and Lord Nrsingadev. I know that most of you are aware of the main elements of the Leela, of course. Today we'll pursue maybe aspects that you'll find new information in and new aspects in. We're going to go to the part of the Bhagavatam where Lord Nrsingadev has been pacified by Prahlad Maharaj's wonderful prayers. Very important section of the important Srimad Bhagavatam, a section that Srila Prabhupada lectured on 2 or 3 times, the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. They contain many verses that are often quoted by the Acharyas. So those of you who like to purify your intelligence by learning shlokas, learning verses, you'll find quite a few verses in the collection of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers that are used so much in presenting Bhagavad Dharma, both to devotees and to non-devotees. Prahlad has been offering prostrated obeisances to Lord Nrsingadev. His obeisances are mixed with his prayers, offered from the transcendental platform. Why is it said that his prayers are offered from the transcendental platform? That means his prayers have no trace of any material desire, any material aspiration, any material hope, any material ambition. You may think, oh, that's impossible. How will we ever become like that? Just look where we are now. Struggling to climb ourselves, to climb out of the muck of passion and ignorance. Even the mode of goodness may seem so far away. What to speak of? The transcendental platform, Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness beyond the material world. Yes, it is from that platform of Vishuddha Sattva that Prahlad Maharaj is offering his prayers. When you look at it that way, yes, things do look hopeless. But, as we'll find out in our discussion, you'll see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Bhaktivatsala, the most affectionate to his devotees. He's not giving you a process that's impossible just to make life miserable for you. Now, the bhakti process involves reciprocation. Krishna is more anxious for you to come to him, to come to the transcendental platform, to revive your dormant pure love. He's more anxious than you are. But because we're so lost in the dense fog of passion and ignorance, we don't perceive that. We're wrapped up in our own independent plans how to be happy and fulfilled in the material world. We spoke before about this confidence, the false confidence that the material energy gives you. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. More or less, you know. I know what's good for me. I can sort myself out. I might have made a few mistakes in the past, but, you know, still on my feet, still moving forward. Where, I don't know, but anyway, moving forward. That's what it's all about. Where does this confidence come from? When you think about it, it's quite arrogant, isn't it? And I don't know if I can trust Krishna. I mean, the material energy, yeah, it's dangerous, but at least, you know, you've been dealing with it birth after birth. But Krishna, you just don't know. This is our unfortunate condition. Krishna is so eager to give us the best, and we so doggedly cling to the worst. Because we think, well, that's all I know. What do you expect, you know? That's all I know. But it doesn't have to be all you know. You can know more. Now, how much is it worth you to know more, to experience more, to climb out of your condition box and move on the transcendental platform? It means pure bhakti. We should be moving toward that goal and not just push it away saying impossible. Because Krishna wants to reciprocate with you. He wants to make it all possible for you. If we just get out of the way. So we'll chant text 52. And you'll hear how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev, will offer to Prahlad Maharaj any benediction he wants. What do you think about that? What would you ask for? What do you say? Supreme Personality of Godhead says, anything you want, Dwayne, say it. What would you say?
I'd think for some time.
No, but just when. Come on, what would you say, Dwayne?
Bhakti.
What kind of bhakti?
Pure bhakti.
Pure bhakti. Anyone else? What would you say? Shaden Hare Krishna. What would you say if the Supreme Personality of God had offered you any benediction you want? Yes, that's Prahlad Maharaj's answer. One of his answers. Ready? Anyone else? Sam. Sam's like, oh, I knew he was going to call on me.
I'd ask for the same thing as Wayne asked for.
I see. Give you again. What would you ask for? Everyone's saying pure devotional service. You're not afraid? Pure devotional service? Pure devotion, you know what that means? Exclusive focus on someone else's desires, not yours? Isn't that scary? Just thinking about Krishna's pleasure, not your own pleasure? Are you sure? Wouldn't it be better a bit of a deal, percentage, you know? How about 60% for Krishna, 40% for you? Huh? What is? No, nothing for you? What about over here? Yes, Radha Prasad. Any benediction you want, you can have. What would you say if the Supreme Personality of God had offered you that? Say it louder, please. And Sandrananda, what would you say?
I'd ask for a bigger book from Gurudev.
Katie, what would you ask for?
Good health.
No pain to the body. That's, huh? Good health and no pain to the body. Ever, right? Make the material body eternal, right? Just while you're in the body. Just make it without pain and in good health. For what purpose? But suppose Krishna wants you to worship him in sickness, in pain.
I'm not quite at that stage yet.
All right. Marie, what do you say? Interesting. All right. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings. And therefore, you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled." Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsala, the Supreme Personality who is very much affectionate to his devotees. It is not very extraordinary that the Lord offered his devotee all benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, in effect, "I fulfill the desires of everyone. Since you are my devotee, whatever you want for yourself will naturally be given. But if you pray for anyone else, that prayer also will be fulfilled." Thus, if we approach the Supreme Lord or his devotee, or if we are blessed by a devotee, naturally we will automatically achieve the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshun Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaur Bhaktivrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Nrisingadev is giving you insight into the loving dealings between the Supreme Lord and his devotee. We need to hear that so we'll have confidence, because the material energy is always trying to discourage us from coming closer to Krishna. It's not practical, or you're going too quick, or you really don't know what you're getting into. When we think of the speed and enthusiasm with which we dive into material affairs, it's embarrassing compared to the great caution we exercise about Krishna. Because of attachment to the body and mind, which is an artificial condition, we feel this sense of comfort, security, and stability in conditioned life. Think, well, this is the way it's been. Anadi karma phale. Since time immemorial, I can't trace out the beginnings of my karma. So, might as well just settle down and accept the cycle of repeated birth and death. Krishna, it might have been, but I've forgotten long ago. by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the pure devotional shastra, the pure devotional scripture, we once again become acquainted with the flavors of pure love, the flavors of pure reciprocation. We have to be reminded. It has to become revived in us because we've just purged ourselves of any remembrance of Krishna through countless births in this material world. Just like, you know, you can take a purgative or a laxative. Purgative is like a strong laxative to get everything out of your system. So, for countless births, we've just tried to get rid of any attachment for Krishna, any desire to be Krishna's servant. This is actually impossible because we're part of Krishna. But the illusory energy can make a situation in which it seems like the impossible has been accomplished. Actually, separation between you and Krishna is impossible any time, at any place. Krishna is always with you. But because of the curtain of illusory energy, you don't see that. Let us develop our insight into the loving dealings between the Lord and his devotees. Those loving dealings are not simply for the perfect devotees in the spiritual world and in Krishna's lila, his pastimes. Those loving dealings are also for the beginners. So many of you, 1 minute, so to speak, you were absorbed in passion and ignorance. The next minute, you have reached the conclusion of the Vedas. And you're living perfect spiritual activities. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bahunam jambanamante gyanavamam papajute. After many, many bursts of speculation, finally the gyani, the metaphysical speculator, understands Krishna is the source of everything. Immediately, though, you've come to that conclusion. The conclusion of all the Vedas. Whether it's Samaveda, Tarvaveda, Ayurveda, this Veda, that Veda, Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, you are at the conclusion. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishta Sarvaya, Aham Eva Veja, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So here you are, rendering service to Krishna by the grace of Krishna's devotees. How did that happen? That is the sign of Krishna's love and affection. You shouldn't be here. None of us shouldn't be here. We have here even, you know, persons born in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who practically knew nothing about him. What to speak of the rest of you? We have persons who, nice Hindus as young boys and girls, but still no devotional service, knew nothing accurate about Krishna. And yet you're here. We have, you know, former party girls and male wolves. We have all kinds of former intoxifiers or whatever they call them. Yet you are here with a chance to perform devotional service, with a chance to understand Krishna. There are persons here from all parts of the world, traveling, looking for material fulfillment, and they happen to stumble upon the devotional service of the Lord. That is a sign of Krishna's affection. Cause this affection, because you don't deserve it. What did you do to deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? Nothing. Some persons came here from abroad to attend the university, and then they took up bhakti yoga, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. This is affection from Krishna. You don't deserve. All types of persons. From all kinds of exotic backgrounds. Yet you have a chance to understand Krishna. That's affection. So first begin to see Krishna's affection in that way. If you don't see that, how are you going to understand the deeper aspects of the relationship? Listen to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev, enumerate Prahlad's qualities. Parada, Bhadra, Bhadram Te. You're so gentle, Bhadra. Therefore, Bhadram Te, all good fortune unto you. When you give up the predator mentality, you become gentle. Some of the men remember watching about the predators, animal predators, in order so they could get a good vision of their material tendencies. We didn't want the ladies to see it because it might have been too squeamish. They're all looking like, nah, it's not true. They can watch it. We can watch it. Right? This is New Zealand. What's good for the men is even better for the women. In any case, this predator attitude is there, yes, both in the men and women. Because both the men and women think they are Purusha, the enjoyer. And so they go out on the prowl. They go on the hunt. That's not being gentle. You can only be truly gentle when you give up this predator mentality and think, how can Krishna be satisfied? The predator mentality means you're always thinking, what's in it for me? You plot, you scheme, you strategize. All for you. My senses, my mind. How are they going to be satisfied? That's not being gentle. You can't be gentle like that. You have to be aggressive. Covertly or overtly, you have to be aggressive. Gentleness means I am Prakriti. I'm Krishna's energy. Krishna is the Purusha. He's the enjoyer. Those who understand that and live like that, they become gentle. Now, that being gentle doesn't mean that they are just lifeless with no initiative, no drive. No. Because all the drive and initiative and ambition is simply to satisfy Krishna, they can be very assertive while being gentle at the same time. So, as Srila Prabhupada once said, a devotee knows how to be a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. In other words, for serving Krishna, you can be like a lion. Leaving no stone unturned, searching everywhere how to increase Krishna's pleasure. But for yourself, you're like a lamb in terms of trying to please yourself. Very gentle now. Not necessary. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of an incident from his young days in devotional service. He said one devotee suddenly started fanning Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur turned to him and said, why are you fanning me? And the devotee just straightforwardly replied, because by pleasing you, we all are satisfied. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted, yes, you have understood. Ha, 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 ha For Krishna's service, we are assertive for our own pleasure. And we are very unassertive. That is being gentle. Let's not have an artificial concept of being gentle. Meaning, you don't exercise care and attention, attentiveness for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's service. This is an artificial conception of humility and being gentle. You always look down at the floor and you talk low so no one can hear what you're saying. No, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Meanwhile, you're not at all attentive to devotional service. That is not real gentleness. Real gentleness means you're actively aware of what Krishna needs, what Krishna wants. And then when it comes to your own material desires, you're quite callous. You're not very considerate of your own material desires. You're so considerate of Krishna and his desires, and not very considerate of your own desires. As long as you're so considerate of your own desires, which is another way of saying being selfish, right? How can you be happy? How many lifetimes have you spent meditating on your own desires? Well, I should get this. I should get that. I need this. I need that. If I just get that, that'll be enough. How many times have you told yourself that? How many lifetimes? If I just get that, it'll be sufficient. You can't be gentle with that kind of mentality. So let us have a true understanding of gentleness in devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj's gentleness. Parada Bhadra Bhadram Te Pritoham Te Sarottama. I'm very much pleased with you. This is a very important statement by Lord Nrsimhadev. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with you, then you can understand him. And you can understand yourself. How can you understand yourself without pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You're part of him. How can you understand your duties and obligations as a citizen of New Zealand if you don't understand, you know, the country as a whole, the government as a whole? By understanding Krishna, you become more attracted to Krishna. You become more expert at serving Krishna. Pleasing Krishna and understanding Krishna are completely linked. So when the Supreme Lord says, I'm very much pleased with you, Pritoham Te Sarottama, you're the best devotee, Asura Uttama, you're the best devotee in the family of the demons, the Asuras, I'm very much pleased with you. That means you can understand me. When you attain Krishna's pleasure, that means you can understand him. And without pleasing Krishna, you can't understand him. Now, no matter how smart you think you are, no matter how new agey you think you are, no matter how much of a good guy or a good lady you think you are, you can't understand Krishna unless you please him. But you treat others like that. Of course you do, because you're part of Krishna. Isn't it so? If someone doesn't attain your pleasure, you don't let them understand you. Right, Sandra? You just keep yourself aloof. Or you may be externally sociable and bubbly, right? But you don't, you know, reveal yourself. You do that because you're part of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you want to understand Krishna, you have to please him. Varang vrinishva bhimatang Kama Puras Yaham Nirnam. Krishna is revealing his modus operandi here, his methodology. He says, it is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask for me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. This is Krishna revealing his way of doing things. He said, this is my thing, fulfilling desires of my devotees. It's my trip, you know. Now just think, when we consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does a thought immediately come to our mind that he fulfills the desires of all living beings? That's personal. Since Krishna fulfills the desires of all living beings, especially he does that for his devotees. This whole material world is the fulfillment of the living entity's desires. Kali Yuga is the fulfillment of your desires. Think about it. Someone says, sometimes a devotee says, why is there Kali Yuga? Why did Krishna do this to us? You wanted it. You had to have it. Yes, it's stunning to believe that all the passion and ignorance, all the horrors of Kali Yuga, you want it. In this way, you can see Krishna fulfills everyone's desires. He fulfills the desires of the conditioned souls reluctantly. As a super soul in your heart, he's always telling you, you don't want this really, do you? Don't you know there are better things for you? Why don't you turn to me? In the core of our hearts, there's such stubborn rebellion. Therefore, you can't hear the super soul in the heart. Don't you know what it's like when someone's telling you something you don't want to hear? You shut them out. It practically doesn't even enter your ears. The Lord says, because it is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, therefore you may ask for me any benediction you desire to be fulfilled. Now, those of you who are TV watchers, I hope not so many of you here. I think I was explaining Sunday, yes, how one devotee who works in the television industry, Sridham, told me that last year the average amount of time New Zealanders spend watching television was 3.5 hours a day. This year it's 4 hours. And no one has time for chanting Hare Krishna. They're working long hours, struggling in their relationships, and yet they have time for 4 hours of television a day. But when it comes to being Krishna conscious, let's be practical now. We live in the real world, you know. There's bills to be paid, you know, pressures, you know. You don't understand. We have no time. If that is so, then where is this statistic about an average of 4 hours daily television watching? Where does that come from? Just see how ruthless the material energy is. Wasting your time in this way. Now reality TV shows, are they still popular? Those of you who watch TV, any TV watchers here? James?
Yeah, I don't watch TV, but sometimes I have to see it.
Maybe a few decades ago, the equivalent of the reality TV that was popular were shows in which just ordinary persons were selected to be on the TV show, you know, from a lottery or something like that. And then they had some competition, maybe answering some questions. And then whoever won, whoever answered the questions the best way, for the ladies, they had a television show called Queen for a Day. So they had four housewives, you know, and they would, you know, ask them various questions, you know, what do you think is the best way to clean your rug? And what do you think, you know, what do you think the best way is to go shopping? You know, do you put everything in a shopping cart or do you not? And then the old ladies would answer, and there would be a panel of judges rating the answers. And one who was deemed to have given the best answers, you know, there'd be a roll of drums. They make a big thing out of drum rolls and trumpets playing. And then, you know, they would come up to the winning lady. You are queen for the day. And she was, ah! other ladies would come with a cape and put it on her and a queen's crown, and then they would explain all the benedictions she was going to get, which are all supplied by the sponsors of the TV show. You know, here is your brand new washing machine and dryer, and for you we have, you know, a beautiful diamond ring. That's not all. They'd say, that's not all. Just take a look at this. A mink stole. Oh, my God. Oh, God. And furthermore, a boat cruise trip in the Caribbean for you and your husband. That was back when, a few decades ago, when people were still married, you know. So you see, people have this psychology. The conditioned souls have this psychology of, you know, wanting to be able to be offered any benediction they want. There's another one called the millionaire, where ordinary people were living their lives, and an anonymous millionaire would send them a check for $1 million. And then they would open their post and, $1 million, wow. And the show was about, it wasn't reality TV, it was all, you know, scripted. You know, what the person would do, how the $1 million solved all their problems. So, you see that psychological tendency is there. Any benediction I want. Why is it there? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead actually does that. The material energy seems to offer you that, but what do you actually get? Yes, isn't it so? The material energy takes you aside. My dear devotee of Maya, what would you like? Ask for anything. This is Kali Yuga. There's such devilish things available to you. What would you like? And you get all lightheaded and, you know, deluded and start hallucinating and, oh, anything. And then analyze what the result actually is. It's never what you wanted. It's never what you bargained for. You get kicked in the teeth again and again and again. And still, Maya comes back to you. What would you like? How would you like to be fulfilled? How would you like to be creative? What kind of relationship do you want this time? Well, this time make it more this way or that way. Before it was the other way. Now I'll try it, I'll try a new way this time. Give me a relationship like that. Look at my friends. Yeah, make it like what they have. Try it this way, try it that way. Just see this psychology of wanting to be offered, you're wanting to be offered any benediction you want. I don't know if any of you here have ever had that feeling at some point in your life. Wow, life, great. It's just all opening up for me. So many experiences, it's hard to choose. Places to go, people to meet, things to do. Wow. Any of you ever felt like that? Yes? How old were you?
21.
You were just out of the house or something? Or just finished university?
Yeah.
And the whole world of creativity was opening for you, right? You were going to fulfill yourself. You were going to help a lot of people, right? How long did it last?
A year and a half.
And then what?
Then it got too much. Too many things to do.
And so?
So I broke down.
Too many possibilities. Anyone else ever had that? Sukanti Radha? Burst of creative energy. I've got my camera. I'll capture the whole world. I'll be famous. Huh?
Not enough time. It was a bit like that.
How old were you?
18.
Where'd you go?
I went to college.
Oh, so you lived in the hostels?
A shared house.
I'm free, right? Although I don't think your mother was very strict, was she? But still, it just, you thought you were out in the world, right? The whole world is waiting for you. Anyone else? Yashoda? What were you going to do? Paint pictures by the seashore? Your art. Through your art, you would show people how to have real feelings, right? How to drown in emotions, right? Anyone else? Sam? Strong and physically.
Yeah.
Why? Recruitment? Yeah.
I just enjoy it.
You're doing muscle training, body toning?
As a runner.
So you thought, what would that do for you in the world? Just made you feel good about yourself. You could accomplish something.
Yeah.
Well, certainly we don't criticize exercise. A lot of you here could use some exercise. But it's a different mentality. The mentality is you're keeping your body healthy for Krishna's service. So yes, continue to keep yourself fit, but for the purpose of devotional service. That's stated in the beginning of Bhagavatam, first canto. You should only desire a healthy life, only desire preservation for the sake of understanding Krishna, executing devotional service. This asking by Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj, you may request from me any benediction that you desire for fulfillment. Krishna is showing you his nature. He wants to reciprocate. He wants to do that. But we're so busy shutting him out and then wondering what's going on. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, thus if we approach the Supreme Lord or his devotee, or if we are blessed by a devotee, naturally we will automatically achieve the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Everything is very personal. Two-way street always with Krishna. So you get conviction about that by hearing Lord Nrisingadeva's dealings with Prahlad. This same ferocious Lord Nrisingadeva who ripped apart Hiranyakashipu's abdomen and pulled out his intestines and garlanded himself with those intestines. Just see how he's dealing with Prahlad. Next text. Mam pri nata ayushman darshanang durlabham hime jistramam na punajantur atmanam taptam arhati. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me, but one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. Purport. One cannot be happy under any circumstances unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material condition. So this is our purpose, to learn how to please Krishna. Now, are we willing to consider that purpose the foremost in our life? Or is it just one, or at best, it's one amongst many, many objectives? Training for how to please Krishna. That is the most valuable education. Nothing comes near it. You may say, well, often people, they'll start that education, that training, and then they may drop it, being allured by the material world, being strangled by their own desires to be independent. So then what happens? But Lord Krishna assures you in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Svalpam apyasya dharmasya chayate mahatobaya. Even a little progress in bhakti training will be your eternal asset. It'll save you from the greatest danger. So even if people do come to Krishna consciousness, take up the bhakti training and go, Narada Muni says, unfortunate, but so what? They got eternal benefit. They'll never lose those assets. But if they do their material activities perfectly, what's the use? They lose it all. What do you think happens at the time of death? Someone asks you, well, you studied hard to be a filmmaker. You studied hard to be a scientist. Let's make arrangements so you can carry on in the next life. Let's see how we can transfer those PhD credits into the next life. Doesn't happen like that. You work hard to finally have a lasting relationship. It's amazing. The relationship's lasted 5 years. We've hit the 5-year mark. Wow! How great is that? You work so hard to finally, often the way it is these days, right? First marriage, second marriage, third marriage. Well, maybe this time, now that we're in our 40s or 50s, maybe number three we'll hold on to. You put so much energy into preserving the relationship. At the time of death, does someone say, oh, you really worked hard in this relationship. We'll arrange that it continues in the next life. Now, as stated in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, just like so much seaweed is carried by the sea waves. Sometimes the waves bring the seaweed together, and sometimes the waves separate the clumps of seaweed. Similarly, that's how we meet up in material relationships. The waves of time, the modes of nature, bring people together, and the same waves separate them. Therefore, the intelligent person observes that agent that brings people together and takes them apart. That's the big picture. Not that you just focus on the seaweed being together. You should focus on how the waves create all these temporary liaisons. Lord Nrsingadeva is saying, may you live a long time. Why is he telling Prahlad, may you live a long time? Because he has a plan for Prahlad to stay in this world and execute devotional service and demonstrate the qualities of a devotee. Otherwise, for a pure devotee like Prahlad, it doesn't matter whether he lives or dies. He's always serving Krishna. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. Yes. What are you going to do about that? That is Krishna's restriction, demonstration of his personhood. Not anyone can just march into my camp, invade my personhood. You have to please me. And you won't be able to appreciate or understand me unless you please me. Then, Lord Nrsingadeva adds, if someone has actually seen me or pleased me, you can be sure that person has nothing more to lament about concerning his own satisfaction. Think about that. Nothing more to lament about in terms of your own satisfaction. This is Krishna's personal offering to his devotees. Therefore, we want to learn how to please Krishna. We want to accept training to do that. The more you know about Krishna, the more you'll be attracted to serve Krishna. Therefore, the activities of understanding Krishna and pleasing Krishna go on side by side. Pleasing Krishna means understanding Krishna. If you truly understand Krishna, that means you know how to please him. What is the activity you like to do if someone is dear to you? You want to tell everyone. Therefore, someone who actually understands Krishna wants to tell everyone about Krishna. It's a personal thing. The more your love for Krishna becomes revived, the more you want to tell others about Krishna. It's the natural propensity to want to glorify that which is dear to you. When Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Prachaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja, abandon all concoctions of Dharma and just surrender to me. That is the same as Lord Chaitanya saying, Yare Deko Tare Koho Krishna Upadesh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, instruct about Krishna. It's the same thing. Surrender to Krishna means spread Krishna's glories. Tell others about Krishna. It's the same thing. Lord Chaitanya is giving you Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita in that way. Surrender to Krishna means tell everyone about Krishna. Teach them the instructions of Lord Krishna. So if you're doing that, then you're surrendering to Krishna. And why do you want to tell others about Krishna? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. not by religious belief. Well, we happen to believe in Krishna. Whom do you happen to believe in? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his activities, by his qualities. Is there anyone who has ever spoken as brilliant as Krishna has spoken? Is there anyone who's ever done even 1% of what Krishna has done? Is there anyone with the qualities of Krishna? Is there anyone who benefits his devotees as Krishna does? In fact, Krishna says he fulfills the desires of everyone, but especially for his devotees. This is personal. One who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. You know how those pangs feel, the pangs of not being satisfied, this gnawing in your stomach, this emptiness in your heart. I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. And therefore you lament. But just think. One who has pleased Krishna has nothing more to lament about in terms of his or her own satisfaction. That is true freedom. Because those pangs of dissatisfaction get you into so much trouble. I'm not feeling satisfied. I got to do something about this. What do I do? Well, it seems obvious. This is Kali Yuga, what you should do. Those pangs of dissatisfaction force you to commit horrible karmic activities. If at least you can become free from those pangs of dissatisfaction, you won't get into so much trouble and you can focus on service to Krishna. And Krishna is telling you, if you please him, there'll be nothing more to lament about in terms of your own satisfaction. Take that. Text 54. Prinanti yattamam dhira sarva bhavena sadhava shreyas kama mahabhaga sarvasam ashishampatim. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Once again, we see Lord Nrisimhadeva revealing personal knowledge of the Supreme Lord. I'm the only one who can do this. I'm the only one who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Do you know anyone who's going to do that for you? People dream of finding that one person. That one person will fulfill all your desires. And then, especially if it's like an Indian family, if that one person can fulfill all your desires, apparently, then he has to fulfill all the desires of all your relatives and all the other family members too. Of course, in New Zealand, you know, people don't care so much about their family members, so just fulfill my desires, all of them, that'll be enough. The government will take care of all the rest of the family. Have you met a person who can fulfill the desires? All your desires. Have you met a person who can fulfill all your desires? Actually, you haven't even met a person who can fulfill one of your desires adequately. Think about it. Maybe some of you had experience telling someone, look, just, if you could just do this for me, just this one thing. You can't even get that. And you get so frustrated. Oh, what's the use? Just one thing. I can tolerate so much. all the other things. If you could just do this one thing. Right. You can't even get there. Not to speak of someone being able to fulfill all your desires. And then, someone who can fulfill all the desires of everyone? What kind of person can do that? Does such a person exist? Or is it all mythology? Well, I don't know anyone who can fulfill even one desire. What to speak of all the desires of even one person? What to speak of everyone? But Krishna is presenting himself. I can do it. What do you say? No, I don't know about that. To be able to fulfill all the desires of everyone means you have to be able to fulfill all your own desires. So people look to other persons, conditioned souls look to other conditioned souls, fulfill my desires. But that person can't even fulfill his or her own desires. And then here you are pulling on them, fulfill mine, fulfill mine. Ooh, if the person was honest, he or she would say, well, I can't even fulfill my own. What am I going to do for you? But no, you don't say like that. Yo, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Oh, yeah, oh, sure. It's all a game. It's all in the game. Everyone looks in each other, one another's faces. Yes, yes, I can do it for you. I can fulfill you. Yes. It's all lies. All cheating. This is the cheating propensity. How can you fulfill someone else's desires if you can't fulfill your own? That's humility. Not just looking on the floor and talking with a low voice. But admit you can't fulfill your own desires. And then here you are presenting yourself to others, even just one other person. Yes, yes, yes. I promise I can fulfill all that. Yes, yes, certainly. Service with a smile. You can't do it. Be honest. How can you fulfill someone's desires when you can't fulfill your own desires? So why make the false presentation? But let's look at Krishna, Adi Purusha, the original person. You should know Krishna's qualifications, so you'll trust him. He's not just speaking empty words. Krishna can fulfill all the desires of everyone because he can fulfill unlimitedly his own unlimited desires. Therefore, we say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He walks his talk. So basically, Krishna can say to you, just like as Lord Nrsingadeva, he says to Prahlad, what do you want? Ask for me anything you want. It's my leela. It's my pastime to fulfill all desires. I can easily do that. Why? Because I've got unlimited desires. And I satisfy all my unlimited desires unlimitedly. So what to speak of you, tiny thing? You know, your tiny desires, no problem. What do you want? This is the Supreme Personality of God. Where are you going to go to find such exquisite knowledge? Such confidential spiritual knowledge. Where will you turn? Where will you get this? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this definition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given. He is Swaraja Lakshmi. He has the unlimited ability to fulfill his unlimited desires. Therefore, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he can say to Prahlad, what do you want? Ask anything. I'm the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. My dear Prahlad, you're very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows. That means different types of loving relationships. Those who are Dhira, those who are sober and most intelligent. Sadhava, persons who are very well behaved, perfect in all respects. So this is what we want our behavior to be. We want to move toward becoming sober, most intelligent, and very well behaved. That's why we have rules here and protocols, so that you'll all become sober, most intelligent, and well behaved. That means you have to stay away from the passionate ignorance. That strong tendency is there. You can see that even though we have well laid out guidelines and protocols in the Gaur Yoga community. Sometimes someone has a go at the protocols and breaks through, you know. Shows it can be done. Fortunately, it's the exception, not the general rule. What's the purpose of the rules, the regulations, the protocols? Is it just to harass you all? No. It's to give you that chance to be sober, most intelligent, and well-behaved. We spoke about the Supreme Personality of Godhead having unlimited desires and the unlimited ability to satisfy all his desires. But please understand that, furthermore, Krishna is not even lovable in just one way. It'd be quite an accomplishment to receive everyone's love. But Krishna receives all types of love. So not only does he get it all, but he gets all the varieties. And he can handle it all. All the different types of loving relationships. He's the perfect reciprocator. Not just one type. So you may say God is love. But what are the different types of love that the Supreme Lord reciprocates with? Is it just generic? God is love. There's this love thing and God is it. He gets it all. There's so many varieties of love, and Krishna perfectly reciprocates with it all. Generally, we say love of God, love of Krishna. But that love of Krishna has different flavors, all for Krishna's pleasure, and he can perfectly reciprocate those different flavors. Now we'll end the chapter, and tomorrow we may proceed with Prahlad's answers. Sri Narada Uvacha, Avram Palo Vyamanopi, Varayaloka Palo Banai, Ekantitvat Bhagavati, Naich Chatan Asurotama. Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. So Prahlad Maharaj, once again, is known as Asura Uttama. He's the best person in the family of the materialistic, the demons. What is the nature of a materialistic family or demoniac family? Is it that they have horns on their heads and they carry a pitchfork? Those are the Asuras. The qualification to be an Asura is that you always aspire for material happiness. Think about that. The Suras, not the Asuras, but the Suras, the pious, like the Devas, the demigods, they aspire for mixture, Krishna's happiness and material happiness. And the bhaktas, they simply aspire for Krishna's happiness. So if you just aspire for material happiness, this is asura, demoniac. So insensitive, so rebellious, you're ignoring the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does God have to do with it? The tendency to believe in God is just due to genetic programming brought about by evolution. You come up with so many crazy ways of pushing the Supreme Personality of Godhead out of life. In one sense, it is the fault of mainstream religion because they're not presenting any comprehensive understanding of what is God. So therefore, people now are easily brushing it aside. Oh, the God thing. Big deal. Because the people lack comprehensive knowledge of God. Here in the Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of God is speaking. He's educating you. And he's pointing out the ways you can practically experience him. Narada Muni is saying that Prahlad, although he's from such a materialistic family, super materialistic family, that always aspires for material happiness, and he's allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's offering him all benedictions for material happiness. Nevertheless, because Prahlad is a pure bhakta, shuddha bhakta, he doesn't want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. He's being allured. Entrapment. It's like in many places in the world, the police do what are called sting operations. They know someone is doing criminal dealings, and so they put that person in a situation where he'll choose to do a criminal activity with an undercover police person. And then the police have to be very careful to show in court that they didn't like force the person into doing the criminal activities. The person was just manifesting his normal criminal behavior, and this time they happen to be dealing with a police person and not a ordinary, not a regular person. If the courts say that the police pushed that person into doing this criminal activity, then the judge throws a case out of court. Just like if you're walking down the street and an undercover policeman comes up and says, "You want to buy some drugs?" No, they can't do that. That's allurement. But if you're walking around looking for drugs, got any drugs? Oh, here's a good person. He looks like he's got drugs. And you go up and try to buy drugs, and it turns out to be a police person. You get arrested. Not New Zealand, all right? They give you a slap on the hand and 10 days probation. So, Krishna, as Lord Nrisingadeva, is actually alluring Prahlad. Would you be able to stand up to such allurement? He's saying to Prahlad, any material benediction you want. It's my nature, my propensity to fulfill everyone's desires. So you can ask for anything you want. Later, when we look at Prahlad's answers in the coming days, you'll see why Lord Nrisingadeva did this. Otherwise you'd think, why is Lord Nrisingadeva putting Prahlad in such danger? This isn't fair. But you'll see there's a purpose to it. And Prahlad, because of his pure Krishna consciousness, will not be swayed from his pure devotional standpoint. That's how powerful bhakti is. This is what we need to understand, how powerful bhakti is. Then we'll have more confidence in devotional service when we understand its power, its super excellence. Otherwise, you may take the activities of bhakti to be just normal. But once you understand their potency, you'll be so keen to execute them. Once you scientifically understand what's going on with even the most insignificant looking service, when you understand what's really going on, you'll be very keen to do it. Indeed, you'll become greedy to do it. That benediction, we want to be greedy for Krishna's service. All right, any questions? Yes. You take the order of your spiritual masters, your life and soul. You always meditate on the lotus feet of your spiritual master. That means meditate on the instructions, the service. Then Krishna knows you're available. Arna Kriyo Maryash. We're about to sing that song. I don't have any other desire. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koryakya Arna Kriyo Maryash. Make that desire the occupant of your mind and intelligence. There has to be something up there, you know? That's something up there. Shouldn't be your own intelligence. It should be the super intelligence that comes through disciplic succession when you place the lotus feet of your spiritual master as your cerebral activities. Bhakti is for the head and the heart combined. So you take those two energies, the heart energies, the head energies, you combine them. There's nothing more powerful than that. And in that combined, in that place of combination, where your head energies and heart energies combine, you ask your spiritual master to live there. And then Krishna knows, yes, this devotee is certainly available. Because Krishna comes to you through disciplic succession. So you can try that. You take your heart energies, your head energies, combine them all, and make a residence. And in that temple of the mind, mana mandir, you invite the lotus feet of your spiritual master. And then, pleased by that, Krishna will give you intelligence. Krishna comes to you step by step through disciplic succession. And similarly, your service goes back to Krishna step by step through disciplic succession. Just like Srila Prabhupada explained how Krishna eats. The devotee offers to his or her spiritual master. The spiritual master takes the food, offers it to his spiritual master, and his offers it to his. It goes all the way back to Krishna. Then Krishna eats. It becomes prasad. And Krishna passes it down step by step. That's the scientific process of Krishna prasad. Anything else? Yes?
Since Krishna fulfills the desires of everyone, a demon may ask, why can't I get the spiritual good without Krishna? Why doesn't he give me the... Why is there all the suffering in the material world?
Because you want it. By your wanting material happiness, you bring suffering upon yourself. You've got to train your mind scientifically so that as soon as you think of desires for material happiness, you know, I am hankering for distress and suffering.
But why can't Krishna change the laws of the material world so that the two don't go together anymore?
That's what Ravana wanted. He wanted to make it so that you perform impious activities, you get pious results. That was his desire, you know, king for a day. He was king for a day. King for a day, and you suffer not eternal damnation, but you suffer countless lifetimes in lower species of life. You can't calculate how long. So you have to scientifically train your intelligence in the real PhD program. As Prahlad Maharaj says in his instructions, as soon as you desire material happiness, indeed as soon as you make a plan for material happiness, mark it right there. That's where your distress begins, even in the plan-making stage. You have to train your intelligence to think like that. So then when Kali Yuga invades your mind, oh, what about this, what about that? You know how to respond. Yes, but what you're really asking me to do is to suffer. You have to see through the veil, pierce the veil. That requires bhakti training. Anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, you were saying we don't know anyone before all our desires, but I think we do. Because we know yourself, and through yourself, we can get to know Krishna, and then we can have all our desires for Bhagavan.
But I'm just a humble servant of my spiritual master. So, whatever ability I have is not my own. Okay, it's the duty of a disciple to see in that way, but it's also my duty to see in my way. So both go on at the same time. It's the bhakti paradox. Disciples, they can think as they're supposed to think, and I will think as I'm supposed to think. And this way life goes on. You think you're serving your spiritual master, and I'm thinking about serving mine. And also, it is true that in the case of Srila Prabhupada, he is there for everyone. As the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, everything is based on his instruction, his desires, his goals. Should be that way. So we are just the humble servants. Of course, if you would like to assist your spiritual master in his humble attempts to serve Srila Prabhupada, that's very nice. Yes.
This current philosophy that's around, I guess it's kind of new age, it's the hippie philosophy in New Zealand.
There's still hippies in New Zealand?
Young hippies.
Really? Young hippies?
Yeah. Like, you know, this, like,
is that true, Shaden? Are young hippies?
Yeah. In Nelson.
In Nelson? Really? Yeah. Left over from the hippie yuga or what? What's going on? In Wellington, they're young hippies. Yes. So, what is your question?
So, I'm just wondering, because our Krishna consciousness is so diametrically opposed to their, like this girl who was asking you on Sunday night about the light and darkness being one.
Mm-hmm.
They find like Krishna conscious understanding to be so negative, and that there's so much, even if it's positive, it's a positive time for the planet.
The same old reheated, you know, leftovers. The dawning of what? It's the dawning of the age of Aquarius, right? Well, you should explain Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andaka. Wherever there's Krishna, then everything is positive. There's the sunshine. Without Krishna, there's darkness. We're talking about both the darkness and the light. We don't want to be in the darkness. We want to be in the light. You have to explain that intelligence means the ability to discriminate. Tell her like this. When you walk into a flat that's dark, all the lights are out, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the light. Don't, no, you're being negative. You're trying, you're turning on the light. You're implying that there's something wrong with the darkness, therefore you turned on the light. You're being judgmental. What do you think, Michelle? Why? This is not true equal vision. You're not being positive. You should just relish the darkness. Why do you turn on the light? Because you want to see. That implies directly that because of the darkness you can't see. The simile, Krishna consciousness means turning on the lights. We can't see without Krishna. We can't see by living a darkness lifestyle. We want the lights to go on. You explain like that. Intelligence means the power of discrimination. Not just saying it's all the same, darkness, light. Then why do you turn on the light if it's all the same? Yes.
And the story in the third canto of Kardama Muni meeting Lord Vishnu. He got the darshan of Vishnu and asked for him to have like a good wife or something. And he asked for like a material woman. How is it that he got Vishnu personally come and see him, and then at the same time he didn't want Vishnu and wanted?
You're worried, huh? Don't worry. He's, Kardama Muni is no ordinary person. By his relationship with Devahuti, Lord Kapila Dev enters this world. So he's just harmonizing with the desire of the Supreme Lord, who wanted to appear as Lord Kapila Dev. Wherever the Lord appears, he has his mother and father. Not because he needs their biology in order to manifest in this world, but because some devotees want to love him in that way. So he gives them a chance. There's no biological or psychological necessity. Ordinarily, children come about because of biological and psychological necessity. like in Auckland when a 28-year-old traveling lady was telling me, oh, I'm 28 now, and I want to be a mother, but I have no partner. I've been traveling for 8 years. What to do? In other words, the biological and psychological necessity is boiling up in her. And she wants to expand, but no partner. What to do? Krishna doesn't come about in this world in this way. Product of biological and psychological necessity. He comes simply to engage in loving affairs with his devotees. Because some devotees want to love him in vatsalya ras, parental relationship. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Wish you well.